Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Happy New Year to you. If you'd be so kind as to open your love letters, and I trust they are your love letters, and I trust that you understand the directions and the instructions that we are to follow from our Heavenly Father come out of your Bible. And I trust that this is as sweet, sweet, sweet as any love letter your wife or your girlfriend or someone precious to you on this turf has ever sent you. I trust this is far greater, because this is where we get our instruction. This is where we get our direction. This is where we bask in the love of the Heavenly Father who has gone to prepare a place for us. He has given us many promises. But I ask you this morning, on the brink, on the genesis of the year 2011, I dare say that some of us will not be here in a year. Where will you be? And I dare say that some of us in January of 2011 have not grown as much as we should have. I dare say that some of us in 2011 have become as stale and as crippled, spiritually speaking, than we've ever been. So what are you going to do about it, Dennis? What are you going to do about it, Mr. and Mrs.? We have the resources of the King of the Universe at our disposal. And it seems as though we go through the motions and we find ourselves in 2010 and 2011 in ruts where a holy God has said it's so unnecessary. I want to turn the world upside down. I've got the bride waiting. I've prepared a place for you. And what are you doing with the gifts that I've given you? What are you doing with the gifts I've given you? So therefore, if you'll be so kind as to open your love letters to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. We're in Matthew 5. Very sweet, very simple, very profound to this wretched soul that God has said, you stay in here and you're not going any further until we deal with these scriptures. If you'll be so kind, in Matthew 5, 25, verses 23 and 24, if you'll be so kind to stand in reverence to the inerrant, reverent, holy, powerful name of the Word of God, we'll read in Matthew 5, verse, starting in verse 23, therefore, if thou, he's saying, therefore, if you, Dennis, therefore, if you, Brad, therefore, put your name there, therefore, if thou bring thy gift, bring your gift, Dennis, bring your gift, Brad. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your power of your word. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll get us out of the way, that you'll be able to do surgical, spiritual surgical surgery in our hearts that will not be the same today when we leave, or this year, at the end of this year, that you'll find us faithful, that you'll find us more in love with you than ever, that you'll find us utilizing the tools, the gifts of a holy God in our lives, that we'll not live those defeated, beat up, mortified lives, Heavenly Father, but that you will find the members at Calvary Baptist Church and the people within the sound of my voice, that you will change us so that we will be a people on fire with a holy God who's got all power and authority in His hand, wanting to give that to us. Now, Heavenly Father, may I die to self. May it be less of me and more of you, to the point in this next few minutes that it will be all of you and none of me. May they not look at anything I have to say. But, Heavenly Father, may each person here within the sound of my voice allow a holy God to walk through the portals in the halls of their hearts and bring them closer to the realization that there is a real hell and there's a real heaven. But there's a real God with a love, Heavenly Father, that caused your Son to die in our place so that we can spend eternity with you. We love you and thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, your Son, we pray these things. Amen. Please be seated. You know what bothers me is that as a religious people, is that sometimes we don't understand we don't understand our faith. We don't take time to understand our faith, to bask in our faith. And we don't understand our perception. How do we come across? I've had people, and I'm sure that you've had people, say, well, Dennis, you're real religious. Oh, that just rubs me the wrong way. I want my faith to show, not my denomination, not my baptism. So it reminded me this teacher was trying to drive home to the children that there's more to you than what I see in the class, and you all come from different cultures and different heritages and different families. So she said, your homework tonight is going to be show and tell, but you've got to bring something for show and tell from your faith, from your religion, from your church where you practice with your parents, your heritage. So he said, okay. So she called on the first little guy, and he came and said, my name is Benjamin. I am a Jew, and this is the Star of David. Everyone said, that's great. So this little girl comes up, and she says, my name is Mary, and I'm Roman Catholic, and these are rosaries. All the students did like this. This one little guy came up and said, well, my name is Tommy. I'm Baptist, and this is a casserole, sir. So sometimes our perception is a little different than we think it is. But I want to ask you today, what are you bringing to God's altar this year? Because we have found in the Scripture, in Matthew 5:23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, what are you bringing to the altar of God this year? You see, we have just finished, if some of you are from a different denomination, many of you have heard the word Epiphany, and it's the celebration of gift-giving. It was the end of it was January 6th. Some of you are shaking your heads and you understand that this is the end of the season of gift-giving, which we know as Christmas time. So as I was preparing and as I was trying to ask God, where do you want us to go? The origin, of course, of gift-giving, and we've just finished gift-giving, is to show or to make known as the origin, and it's really God's gift to mankind. Forgiveness of sin through His Son, Jesus Christ, is the theme of giving. It's strong in the Scriptures. Many of you may not know, but 2,100 times in the Scripture is reference to gift-giving, and what was the other one? Gift, giving, and give. So as we find ourselves in this post-gift-giving phase of our culture and faith, the Christmas season, what have we done? And so it's twofold. What have you and I done with the gifts of God? What have we done? So if you will, in your mind, for the next few minutes, imagine that there are big gifts as tall as the ceiling, and the gift is love. And then imagine that there's another big gift next to love, and that gift is peace. And then there's another gift, and that gift is joy. And then before we can celebrate, truly celebrate the epiphany, the gift giving of God gave us His Son. And another big, the biggest gift that we hold on to, the biggest promise, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the other gift that we know, that we who are walking by faith know, is the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. That's our conscience. That's what's saying, Dennis, you're doing it wrong. Dennis, you're doing it right. Dennis, do you really love me? These are gifts that God has given us. What are you and I doing with the gifts that God has given us? What are you and I doing with love when we're in such a society of hate? So as we come to God's throne, we can't get off first base, because are we coming to God's throne righteously according to what God has to say? So when I started thinking about the new year and the gifts that God has available for Dennis, Dennis can't dive into the boxes and the gifts of love until Dennis understands how to come to God's throne the right way. So therefore, I ask you and I challenge you, what are you bringing to God's altar this year? Where do you find yourself spiritually speaking on the brink of this new year of 2011? We really need to keep it simple and get back to the basics of life. God loves you. He is the author of all that is and all that ever will be. He is the author and finisher of your life, giving you some choices. He is the architect of your existence in determining when, to whom, and where, and what season, and what time you are to be born. And now He offers you gifts, but you and I can't seem to get to the altar. My goodness. So therefore, the gifts. We come to the altar. And this morning, how many of us were aware that we wanted to meet a holy God and we came to the altar? When I say we came to the altar, Dennis had to physically get ready, mentally, spiritually get ready to come to God's house. Was Dennis ready? How many of you came to the altar today to meet God with clean hands and a pure heart? How many of us come to the altar? What? Know ye not that you come to the altar? What? Know ye not that you come as living sacrifice to a holy God? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. You and I are the gift. You and I come to the altar. You and I are the gifts that have to come to the altar. I've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, it is not I, but Christ who lives in me. And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then you and I think that we can take it lightly and come to God's house and go through the rushes and go through the motion and pacify the conscience. And where is the power of God in our life? And where we're no different in 2012 as we are in 2011 as we were in 2010, if we don't have the power of God, and we don't have the power of God because we haven't sat down and read the directions, because we haven't got to first base and we don't know how to come to God's throne first, God's altar. And I don't mean to beat you up, but I mean to share from my heart. A friend of mine who is of the Jewish faith had a cup of coffee with me. And he said, Dennis, I just want to ask you a question. And he and I had the type of relationship when he speaks, he's got a lot of wisdom that I wish I had. And I keep telling him, you're going to get the real thing one day. But the wisdom that he had just profoundly haunts the chambers of my faith. Dennis, if you claim that your Savior, the prophet Jesus Christ, is love and is about love, Dennis, what's going on with your faith, with your people, with your Christian churches? If that's the message, I challenge you in 2011, if that's our message, what's going on? If that's our message, what do we have wrong? If that's our message, we've got to get it right. If that's our message, we've got to come to the throne realizing that Dennis, all Dennis has to offer God is Dennis's life. And Dennis's life has got to be pure and holy. And then when Dennis gets it right and Dennis realizes that his life was purchased by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus Christ, and it's really, I have nothing to offer God but a life that's surrendered to Him, then Dennis is going to be able to deal with love to the unloving. Then Dennis is going to be like Noah when God says do something and everyone else is mocking Dennis. Dennis understands I've got a gift of God, and that gift is that peace, and that gift is that assurance, and that gift is that He will never leave me or forsake me, and that gift is that He's not going to guide me down the wrong path, and that gift is going to be peace and assurance and the love that Dennis is realizing in his life, and Dennis is going to hold on. And then when you have these doubts, when you have these challenges, then you need to realize, have you come to God's throne? Have you come with clean hands and a pure heart? And if you have, then are you basking and exploring and diving and reading the directions and understanding the gifts of God so that you have the joy in your life that you've never known? So that like Moses and Abraham, and I think of this, when Abraham was told to offer up Isaac on the altar, his only son, whom he had prayed for, whom he had been told about, whom at the age of 100 years old had almost laughed in God's face. What are you talking about? But I am going to be faithful. And God said, you offer the altar. You offer your only son. And he takes the dagger. How could he? Because he had been diving into the gifts of God's promises. God's love. That's why. And that's the only reason. So I ask you, this year 2011, what are you going to bring? What are you bringing to God's altar this year? Are you bringing yourself? I trust that you are. Are you going to be able to bring yourself and realize that it's no longer your life, Dennis, but it's Christ who died for you? And now, Dennis, you've got to die to self and allow God to work through you in a holy and a mighty way so that, Dennis, you can experience the gifts that God has given. The gifts, Dennis, of eternal life, the gift of the comforter, the gift of faith, the gift of trust, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of peace, the gift of love, the gift of long-suffering, the gifts that God expects you to use, Dennis. Otherwise, you're going to be giftless, and otherwise, you're not going to be able to get off first base and get to God's throne. What are you doing about the gifts? Gifts that we are the lives that God wants. Broken relationships, and this is important because he tells us, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thou, brother, hath aught against thee. We must offer clean, holy, acceptable gifts. We must have right relationships with God and others. Broken, listen to this. Broken relationships can hinder our relationship with God. And if we have a problem or grievance with a friend, we should resolve the problem as soon as possible. We are hypocrites if we claim to love God while we hate others. Even our attitudes toward others reflect our relationship with God. That's frightening, isn't it? Even our attitude with others. So therefore, Dennis, if you come to God's throne, Dennis, and you have something, someone has something against you, or you against them, Dennis, you can't offer yourself. Did you hear what I said? I can't offer myself until I get it right. How many of us have come to God's throne today and we can't even approach the altar? I dare say that we, everyone within the sound of my voice, we need to leave the altar today and get things right. And get things right with our heart so that we can have a right relationship with God Almighty. We find also in 1 John 4:20, we find these words. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? How? It's impossible. What are we bringing to God's throne this year? I trust that we're bringing ourselves. I trust that we get to the altar and that we make things right. And that we know that we don't have aught against anyone. And that God's love can truly shine through us because we are God's children. And then the rabbi can't say to Dennis, what's going on with y'all? You fight all the time. There's no love in you. He's not what you're saying he is, Christians. That's what the rabbi friend was telling Dennis. And then we also find in 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth God, for God knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And I love that word. Propitiation for our sins. That means that He's going to win us back. That He's going to win us our favor back into our Heavenly Father's presence. Kind of reminds me, these weeks have just been kind of, you know, during the holidays, how we kind of cram everything in a few days and we don't work the whole time and we kind of get out of joint. And so I went in on a Wednesday and I had something planned on a Friday with the boys and I, how you're doing. And I get in on this and the secretary said, well, this deputy has been trying to serve you papers for 2 days. Ooh, better tell him I'm here. So they came in and I had a deposition due on Friday with a trial on a Monday. This was not fun. The deposition goes back for about 14 years, so I had to prepare and have papers like this. And I thought, this is insane. But I won favor in the court with the judge. He said, no, that's not going to happen. No, you don't worry about it. Let me tell you, I don't care what you've done. The sins you've done, the stories you've told, if you've had a time, sir or ma'am, if you've had a time and a place where you've asked Jesus Christ to save you, then you have to offer yourself to the altar. You are worthy. And when the judgment day comes and the judge and you've got a deposition, you've got to stand and say, I did all this and I did it and I am without excuse. And the judge says, no, you've won favor. Propitiation for your sins, Dennis. Propitiation for your sins, Brad. Jesus is standing there on your behalf and my behalf. Now, if you can say I've done that, then you can approach the throne and you need to make sure that you've got things right with your brothers and sisters so that you approach the throne holy and pure, realizing that Christ died for you and all you have to offer is a holy life to a holy God so that you can get plugged in and He can use you in great and mighty ways. But if you never had a time and a place where you've asked Jesus Christ to save you personally, that you knew that you are dead and lost in your sins and trespasses, don't leave today without accepting God's gift. That gift is Jesus Christ. And the only way you can bask in the love, the only way you can bask in these big gifts that God has for you is through Jesus Christ, the propitiation for your sins. And then I just want to, I like this, and I ran across this when I was studying. Sometimes our approach to the Christian life is as absurd as the enthusiastic young man who had just received his plumber's license. He was taken to Niagara Falls for his graduation celebration. And he studied the falls for a minute and said, I think I can fix this. Sometimes we think we can fix it. And sometimes sooner or later, we are confronted with the painful truth of our identities, inadequacies and insufficiencies and my lack of security. And then I get exhausted. And then it seems as though I pass and give in to weakness and infidelity appears. And then we discover our inability to add even a single inch to our spiritual stature. And then this discontent steps in, gloom, pessimism, and it goes on and on. And then we find ourselves unchanging this time next year as we were last year, as we were this year. But it kind of reminds me, what's at our disposal? What is at our disposal as God's children is the power of the universe, the King of Kings, these victorious lives that we read about, but it doesn't seem as though we capture. And it kind of reminds me of this. If any of you have read Decision Point by George W. Bush, he talks in that book about being the most powerful man on this side of glory. And he had a summit. He had an Pacific Asian economic corporate summit in Shanghai. And so he was in China. And he got a call from the White House and they said, well, this is what has happened. We're afraid that you and your cabinet members have been exposed to botulinum poison, which is poison that they were afraid of and they still are during the biochemical warfare. And he said, so what do we do? He said, well, sir, all you can do is watch and make sure the rats don't die in 24 hours and you're safe. Okay, so here, and I can imagine him. All right, here I am, the most powerful man in the world, everything at my disposal, but I'm going to sit and wait until they say the rats are feet up or the rats are feet down to make sure I'm all right. Well, that's a true story. But you know what's worse? Is that you and I get in the ruts of life and you and I have the disposal of the King of the universe at our resources and you and I have the ability to forgive those who are unforgiving. You and I have the ability and the gift to climb into that box of love and understand that God said, Dennis, you can love the unloving. And Dennis, you don't categorize anyone. And Dennis, you don't have greed. And Dennis, you don't have resentment. Dennis, all this is nonsense. And you are living defeated life, Dennis, because you haven't basked in my love. And so what's any different in George Bush and Condoleezza Rice and the cabinet members waiting in China to see if the rats killed over in 24 hours or they were still running their little hooly hoop that they run to see if they were going to die? What's any difference in that and what you and I do with the power of God in our lives? You see, we get in these ruts and we don't allow the power of God because we have something against someone, and you say, well, Dennis, you don't know what they've done, and you don't know the circumstance, and yeah, I don't know, and I don't want to know. But I know who does know is Jesus Christ and God Almighty. And He said, Dennis, I want you to forget that and leave that alone, and I want you to come to the throne of God without any ought against brothers and sisters, and I want you to dedicate your life as a living sacrifice to a holy and living God, and I want you to jump into these boxes of love. And I want you to jump into the gifts of God. And I want you to live those victorious lives. Because God, Jesus is coming, and God is tired of waiting on a bunch of mimsy-pamsy people with feelings when the whole time His feelings went to the cross and died for me and for you. Wow. And then we just don't seem to get it. Then we keep living these defeated lives. I like over in 1 Peter 2:9. Over in 1 Peter 2:9. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, now for us to approach His throne, He's accepted us as high priest. That's another important part. You've got to realize that you are a high priest to approach His throne. And this is the first and foremost thought we should understand. And once we are in Christ, He accepts us as priests. But you are a chosen people in 1 Peter 2:9. And I love this. In 1 Peter 2:9, He's talking about you. Listen, this is your love letter. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. You are the royal priesthood to come to the altar of God. Isn't that powerful? That should make you understand His love for you. And then also part of the Christmas season is that Zacharias. You know, you may say, well, Dennis, you just don't understand. And I've tried to do this and I've tried to do that and I haven't seen God move and I haven't seen an answered prayer. And you just need to tell all that to God because it doesn't matter because God said, I'm not through with you yet. If you'll just shut up and be faithful, let me, excuse me for saying shut up, but sometimes I feel like that, just God saying, just let me be God, Dennis, and you be Dennis, and we'll work it out when you get that formula right. So Zacharias, listen, I think one of the greatest stories in the Christmas story is Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were up in age, meaning that they were past retired age. And they had been faithful, and they had been holy, and they had been good in serving God. But they were barren, they were childless. And that was a disgrace to people of that time. And Zacharias' lot never came up. So Zacharias was never able to go in to the Holy of Holies and offer the incense because his lot never came up. But they didn't quit being faithful to God. They were still holy. They were still pure. They still knew because they had jumped into the boxes of gifts that God had given them, love and praise and peace and joy. They knew God. They had faced Him. But they didn't give up. And although Zachariah, and I imagine that he had already sent in his drop money, his drop papers, meaning that he was ready to retire as a priest. He had served, but his lot had never come up. But he still wasn't bitter at God. And Zachariah's lot came up. And guess what? Elizabeth came up pregnant. It's in God's timing. It's all in God's timing. So I don't know where you are, sir or ma'am. And I do pray for this church, and I love this church, but God knows where you are. And you've seen God realign lives. You've seen God move a family for whatever reason, and after they get moved, you understand. You've seen God turn the spigot of finances until they dry it up because maybe God said, you need to depend on me more. You need to depend on God. You need to keep those holy lives. You need to come to the altar realizing that it's not our lives, but Christ died for our lives. And you need to jump into the gifts that God has for you so that this year, 2011, will be different than any other year of your life. Then we find ourselves this morning in the day of grace, and we find ourselves, and another one analogy, and then I'll close because we're out of time and the bridge is open, so thank you, Lord, for that prayer. Sometimes our life also reminds me of this. I have been around the county, and you'd be surprised how many people will sit in the heat and they won't use the air conditioning, and sweat's pouring off. And there's one little lamp on. Excuse me. I don't understand, I've said. We've exempt you off the tax roll. You've got some additional money. Why aren't you using your air? Is it broke? No. Why aren't you using your air, ma'am? I don't want to use it up. But ma'am, you don't understand, you don't use it up. And we've got you. We've got you supplemental help so that your light bill will be taken care of. Your health is more important, but you don't understand. I don't want to use it up. But man, why are you sitting with one light bulb on and you've got this big house? Because I don't want to use up the electricity, ma'am. You don't use up the electricity. But I want to challenge you. Are we any different? Are we any different? God has prepared this mansion, this big house for us. And He's prepared these gifts for us. And He has sent His Son. And He said, Dennis, I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'll come back for you again. And Dennis is satisfied with a flashlight. Why? Because Dennis does not understand the gift of God. Because Dennis doesn't understand that the gifts of God don't dry up. Reminds me of this too. I don't have it with me, but some of us will walk around life with a walkie-talkie where I can't talk to you unless you're within my distance, instead of using an iPhone where I can call you around the world. And I'm going to tell them myself because I don't read directions on these, on all this new gimmicks, okay? I'm not the only one, am I? The iPod and the Pod Pods and the Go Pods and the Hot Rods and the Pod Pods. So one of my boys surprised me, Dad, you can get internet on your iPod. No, I can't. I'm walking around with a walkie-talkie, spiritually speaking. I just, you know, I don't want any more than I'm accustomed to. So I don't want to really tap into the what God has, a victorious life. And I come to the throne of God and I have things against people and I don't get that right. So I'm not going to get into the gifts of God. And I'm living this defeated life and I'm walking around with a walkie-talkie and I can only talk to you this far because my battery's getting low. And the whole time I've got an iPod on my hip and my boy grabbed it and said, Dad, you've got internet on here. Look at here. You can talk and do anything around the world you want to. You're kidding. No, Dad. No, I'm really not kidding, Dad. You really have an iPod. You really have internet. God's saying to us today, Dennis, you really got all these opportunities to live a victorious life for me. And Dennis, you're walking around defeated, beat up, because you're letting the devil tell you you're not worth anything and my son died for you. Because Dennis, you haven't learned to make things right with your brothers. Dennis, you haven't started diving into the gift of love, Dennis. And so you come to the throne and I can't accept you because you're on the throne of your life instead of Christ on the throne of your life. So therefore, Dennis, you can't understand and dive into the box of love. And Dennis, you can't dive into the box of joy. And Dennis, you can't bask in the gifts that God's given you. So you just walk around with your walkie-talkie and you stay beat up the rest of your life because I still love you and I'm coming back for you. Now let me ask you, where do you find yourself this morning? Are you coming to God's throne in 2011 and you're going to lay it all down and you're going to make sure it's right with everyone so that you can jump into those big gifts that God's got and that you can tackle the world because you've got you realize that thing on your side is an iPod and you've got internet around the world because you and I have better than internet. You and I have the power of a holy God inside of us who resurrected Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that same power is available to you and I. That same opportunity to turn your face and say, I know I forgive you. I know that. Last night on, they've been talking about, and this is awful commentary on what happened a week ago in our nation. And the other night on Huckabee, they had a lady who had been shot in the head. The first thing that, when she was conscious, you know, the first thing that she said she wanted to do, I want to meet him and forgive him. Whoa! How? Only by the love of God. Only by the love of God. And you and I have had a lot less done to us. And we can't come to the throne because we have aught against a brother or a sister. And we can't jump in the box, the gift of love, because we can't get off first base. And here a woman was shot in the head and said, I just want to forgive them. My goodness. My goodness. You're either a saint. A saint is someone who is good, but who experiences the goodness of God. And we have been given God in our souls and Christ in our flesh. We have the power to believe where others deny. We have the power to hope where others despair. We have the power to love where others hurt. And this and so much more is a sheer gift from God. And it's not a reward for my faithfulness or your faithfulness, but it's the gift of God to show us that He loves us. What are we going to do with God's gifts? And then, till this be done, we're utterly unfit for communion with God and holy ordinances. If you have something against someone, make sure you work to clear things up. No more is to be done but to forgive him or her. Forgive the injury, the hurt, regardless of which side of the hurt was cast by you or the other party. You should be first to attempt to reconcile as a Christian. And when you're addressing ourselves to any religious exercises, it's good for us to take that occasion of serious reflection, meaning that when we come to God's throne, make sure that things are right with you and everyone about you. Make sure so that we come to God's throne holy and acceptable. And then love is so much better than all burnt offerings and the sacrifice that God is content to stay for the gift rather than have it offered while we were guilty and engaged in a quarrel, meaning this. In the Old Testament, they would come with grain offerings. They would come with burnt offerings. Zechariah, the priest, would come in the special clothing. They would offer the offerings. But if something was not right, God would wait. And the sweet aroma God would wait for. You and I in the day of grace, all the sacrifices are over. The ultimate sacrifice is Jesus Christ. What can Dennis offer? The gift Dennis offers on the altar of God is Dennis's life. If Dennis leaves his gift there and goes and makes it right, God is waiting for that sweet aroma, that freshness, to pour the power of God in Dennis's life so that Dennis can bask in the gifts of God. What's going on in your life today? Who do you need to ask forgiveness? Who do you need to call this afternoon? What do you need to do to make it right for 2011? So that 2012, you find yourselves full of the freshness of God. You find yourselves telling others about what God is doing in your life. So that in 2012, you've got a list of people that you've led to the Lord. That in 2012, you've got time and time again facts of how God has worked in your life, that nothing could have been done except a holy God working in a holy people, wanting to proclaim the holy gospel of Jesus Christ. So that in 2012, you're going to look back and say, wow, wow. Nothing of me, all of God. But thank God you used me. Where are you going to find yourself in 2012? So in closing, let me ask you. Christianity in its purest form is nothing more than seeing Jesus. Christian service in its purest form is nothing more than imitating Him whom we see. So to see His majesty and to imitate Him, that is the sum of Christianity. So my prayer is that this new year, 2011, we'll not routinely, habitually go through the motions of coming to church and Bible study, only to find ourselves the same next year as we are today, this year. But my prayer is that we first come into His presence with thanksgiving because we have come to His altar clean in the blood of the Lamb. And then we'll hear and adhere to His Word, bearing few fruits and start utilizing the gifts He has made available for His children, gifts of love, gifts of joy, gifts of peace, and that we will be a different people for it. No more pew warming, no more junk religion, but plugged in to the real thing, and the real thing is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So what are you bringing to God's altar this year, 2011? Your life, clean and holy, in order for you to to start understanding, experiencing, and enjoying some of the gifts He has prepared for you. Love, joy, forgiveness, peace. No more hatred, no more envy, no more resentment, no more coming to His throne empty-handed, but coming to His throne full of grace, full of love, making sure things are right with all of the others around you. Got some work to do, don't we? We can do it with His help. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this message. Heavenly Father, a time of gift-giving. And then, Heavenly Father, I ask that You forgive us because the gifts that You have made available to us, the power of the gift of love, the power of the gift of forgiveness, the power of a holy God and people like us, Heavenly Father, I even imagine in my mind that angels are sitting on the clouds scratching their heads. Father, they don't understand. But Heavenly Father, through the power of Your Son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that we get it right this year. I ask on behalf of these sweet people that You forgive us of our sins. I ask that You forgive us when we come to church as a habit. When we come to church, Heavenly Father, to clear our conscience, to clear our mind, simply out of habit, Heavenly Father, when the whole time You're saying, Dennis, I want to meet You. Dennis, I want You to stare at me. Dennis, I want You to bask in my love. And the whole time, Dennis is in love with the world and something else on his mind. God, forgive us. But Heavenly Father, may we come this morning and may this be an hour and a few minutes of decision-making where we will make a decision to get things right. We will make a decision that we're going to start coming to Your throne with clean hands and pure heart. Where we're going to make it right, Heavenly Father, and we're not going to have any sin, any ought against a brother or a sister. But that, Heavenly Father, You are going to be able to do great and mighty things through this church because these church people want to serve You, want to meet You face to face, want to stare in Your face, Heavenly Father. And we want to be like Abraham, and we want to be able to do what You tell us to. And we want to be like Noah, and we want to build those relationships regardless of what the world says, Heavenly Father. And we want to be like Paul, who was in love with the world and had gotten all the education, Heavenly Father. But Paul met You on the road to Damascus, and Saul, and now Paul changed his life and changed his master and is in love with You. So, Heavenly Father, these next few moments, only You know what needs to be done. And I pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that You move in such a way that we'll be a changed people when we leave. We love You and thank You for this hour. In Your name we pray. Amen.